insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on Election Day and still be elected Commander-in-Chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left. That's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it is area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. You can also join us in the show chat rooms, not the Blog Talk Radio chat room, because that is not a monitor chat room. We do not pay attention to that one at all. Blog Talk Radio is pretty much just used for calls and a soundboard. However, if you come to liberaldanradio.com, which is the YouTube channel, you can come to that chat room, or you could also come to the Twitch chat room, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. Both of them work, and you can give your comments, questions, concerns, etc. over there. Participate if you're going to call in. Come on over to the YouTube chat or either chat, really, and just leave your area code that you're calling in from and your first name or your username just so we know who is calling in, so we can do a little bit of a call screen to make sure it's not somebody doing shenanigans or some other form of tomfoolery, if you will. So it's interesting. I was all prepared to do one major topic because of the Supreme Court. And of course, surprisingly enough, we got another ruling from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which kind of reverses what happened. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Shout out to the Mod Squad, Aaron and Jolie. Thank you all for coming here and being awesome as you are, as always. We got Steve and Wes, Jeff as well, coming in as well. I'm guessing that Hal is still going on, which may very well mean that since Hal's on right now, that's a good thing, because if Hal's still going on, it means that we may very well get a raid over on Twitch in a few minutes, which means that we'll have a nice little audience, so to speak, joining us over there, which is always a fun time, always a good thing to happen. So yay, there's always that. Before we start talking about the topic about the Supreme Court and several rulings from the Supreme Court today that we're going to go into, or at least not full-ass rulings, full-on rulings, but just allowing cases to go forward, if you will. Let's see. Jeff Curry, yes, you are here. I see you. The last show you weren't showing, it was killing you not to be able to comment about the Uranus Fudge Factory. Yes, you are here, and yes, you can make your comments now. I guess if you want, you can have delayed Uranus Fudge Factory comments. As I was telling somebody else about, it's funny. There's on my Nerdy Dan side, there I was invited to do a thing called Warpath a few months back, and it's basically like somebody puts on like an online version of Survivor. It's not very big, but basically a whole bunch of people come in and they try and do these contests, and it's mostly like gamer contests or puzzles and stuff like that. And they have totems, and it's run like Survivor a little bit. And I joined in, and I was the oldest person to ever participate, and I came in fifth place, so which I think impressed everybody. And I was invited to come back to join their all-star cast. So we'll see how I'm still involved. I'm still doing it. So I've survived the first couple rounds of people getting yeeted. So that's fun and good. But they're apparently also doing an in-person version of Warpath close to this person's house. They have, I guess, a camp that he has the ability to use. And it's in Missouri. And I'm like, wait, I had no plans of participating in this thing. I'm too old. I feel my knees would not enable me to go running around in a park trying to participate in this whole thing. But I'm like, wait a second. How close are y'all going to be to the Uranus Fudge Factory? And they're like, oh, less than an hour. I'm like, oh my God, that makes me want to go so bad, because I really, at least once in my life, I need to go visit the Uranus Fudge Factory. Because, you know, as I constantly say, I don't know if they're the best fudge in the world, but I'm willing to bet they're at least number two. So, hey, Robert Reynolds, good to see you. One of the Liberal Dan Radio patrons, Mountain Lady, Suzanne, who else has joined? Thank you, everybody else, for joining. Wait, Uranus used to be a strip club that got shut down? That's hilarious. That I didn't know it used to be a strip club. That's even better. Apparently they have a liquor store in the rear too. So when you go to the Uranus Fudge Factory, you get liquor in the rear. So yeah. Wes, are we here to vent or are we here to share? A little bit of column A, little bit of column B, it happens. You know, we can share in front of the class. If you share with everybody, I suppose. What's up, Ichabod dear? Good to see you. We are going to be talking about, I did label my show in such a way that perhaps we might get some additional conservative folks jumping in on the chat, so please beware. And as I remind you, if we do get additional conservative folks jumping in, I will just remind everybody, allow the mods to do their mod-like duties. Let them handle any of the banning if they get personal. Don't get personal yourselves. Just make sure that you attack the argument being made and not the person making the argument. We want to strive to be better than them. So, yeah. Jeff, they're trying to turn it into a small town. Got a tattoo shop, museum, tourist trap, etc. I totally want to go there. I totally want to visit Uranus. That's, you know. Latinx folks don't say it that way. Well, I mean, technically, if you talk to a lot of scientists won't say it that way either. They'll say it Uranus instead of Uranus. But I mean, you know, every time the post comes around in my memories where it says Uranus is a gas giant that can fit 63 Earths inside of it, and then, you know, the response is, well, it's 64 if you ease up a little bit, or other things. You know, I will never be too old to not share that over and over and over again. Jeff, Dan is making my gutter mind flare up. I'm making you go into Super Saiyan mode, or so to speak. I'm making you, I'm building up the dirty jokes. I'm charging you up. Aaron West. I ordered Dairy Queen for dinner and didn't get my Blizzard. What the actual F? That is tomfoolery. That is additional tomfoolery. And I would go Karen on them. I would fully say that is not cool at all. I think this be Wes.
It's me.
Hey, how Wes, what's going on? How are you? Seha is in the chat. Good to see you, Seha. What's up, Wes? What are you doing this evening? What are your fun plans for the evening besides going to sleep, listening to the dulcet tones of Liberal Dan Radio Talk from the Left?
Yeah, I haven't even brushed my teeth yet. I've been out having fun with the Facebook crowd. Yeah, they kicked me out of House Barks again, talking too much shit about Ukraine.
Like, bad stuff about Ukraine?
No, just saying I don't trust Ukraine. And how do we decide what accords and treaties are still of value? If you have a three-way treaty and one side breaks the treaty, isn't it void for all three sides?
It depends on how the treaty...
three-way agreement.
Are we talking about a... Wait, are we talking about three ways or are we talking about a trilateral treaty? Sorry. I had to make another dirty joke for Jeff's sake. Back to the topic.
Hey,
I think it would be determined on the wording of the treaty itself. Because sometimes you have, especially in law, you might have a law that says, you know, there are like laws where have severance clauses in laws where they'll say if a portion of this law is determined to be unconstitutional, that doesn't make the rest of the law unconstitutional. So they might write into the treaty where if one party breaks the treaty, that doesn't mean the treaty between the other two parties.
You're saying if then you're imagining things.
I don't know the wording of the treaty. I don't know how it's worded, so I can't answer.
Exactly.
I can't answer how it would be worded, so I can't answer the question. I'm not informed enough on that.
All sorts of stipulations and everything, but the truth is, and you can deny it if you want, there was a certain pecking order in Ukraine. And I'm not going to get specific about it, but the people that lived to the east of the river did not speak Ukrainian. But in order to get jobs or in order to go to school, in order to do so much, you had to learn Ukrainian to an extent that Russian was forbidden and stuff like that. And the people who were mostly Russian speakers, a lot of them rebelled.
That still doesn't excuse the actions of Putin, though. Here's what I'll say about that. Should you trust a politician? No, you should never trust any politician. I mean, just in and of itself, politicians as I said at the end of the conversation from one of the other shows when we were talking about the Alaska and their attempts to get rid of the election, instant runoff or whatever that they have, where I said, politics coming from the root poly meaning many and ticks meaning blood sucking creatures. I don't trust many or any politicians as far as I can throw any of them. That being said, when it comes to Ukraine, we made an agreement way back in the day that said, if you get rid of your nukes, you had possession of a whole bunch of the Soviet bloc nukes. If you get rid of those and Russia gets froggy, we'll protect you. So we made that agreement. And for us, if we go back on that agreement, there's no reason for anybody else to then trust us to ever do that ever again, A, and then so nuclear proliferation could happen, and B, even if anybody doesn't trust Zelensky, you should trust Putin way less.
Yes. I've said that 100 million times. I have not said anything different than that.
Okay.
When they call me a tanky and stuff, it just burns my butt because I'm not. And it is just, it's ridiculous to think that all those Russian people, some of them don't want to. And I know now probably the ones that really want to be in Russia have gone to Russia, plus a few more that have been sort of like kidnapped or taken hostage. And most of the people that want to go to the western part of Ukraine are in the western part of Ukraine. So those people still living there are their survivors. Some reason, and sometimes they're taking care of sick or dying, or they are sick and dying, or something like that. Some reason they have to stay there.
Mm-hmm. My point would be
two armies fighting each other over the top of them.
Right. Well, like, you know, one of the things, one of the things that I think, though, is that, like, take, for example, during the Obama administration, I still haven't looked up and find the clip. Like, when I was on Hal's show, I was talking about how I found some old Facebook posts in my memories where I was talking about how the conservatives were very critical about Obama when President Obama didn't take a firm enough of an action, according to them, when Russia went in and you know, annexed Crimea or what have you. Whereas now the conservatives are like, Biden's being too harsh and trying to start World War III with Russia as Russia tries to take over the entirety of Ukraine. And so I need to go back and find some of those, you know, screenshots of articles.
I know what you're saying. When you want a pro-Russian vote, it's the Russian people, the Russian lovers that come out to vote. When you want a pro-Western vote, it's the Ukrainian speakers that come out to vote.
My point would be is like maybe the reason that, you know, we didn't take as much of a harsh stance when it came to Russia and Crimea is simply because they did have more Russian speakers, whereas now that Russia is trying to take over the entirety of Ukraine, you know, now it's like, okay, this is crossing a line, this is going too far, whereas we weren't okay with Russia trying to take over Crimea, but because there were so many Russian speakers over in Crimea that maybe it was like, well, this wasn't worth, maybe even Ukraine wasn't even like, this isn't worth making a too much of a big deal over. But now that Russia is trying to take over the whole darn thing, it's like, you know what, now we need to draw the line in the sand. But of course now since Trump is beholden to Putin and the conservatives are vis-a-vis beholden to Trump, conservatives are vis-a-vis beholden to Putin.
No, I'm not.
And conservatives are now not going to want to do anything to piss off Putin because conservatives don't want to piss off Trump and Trump doesn't want to piss off Putin. So,
okay.
Russian-speaking Ukrainians voted for Zelensky with a higher percentage versus Ukrainian-speaking. Well, that's also a good point, though, too. So there you go.
No, because if you're having a president for an Eastern Kievan government, you vote for Zelensky. A lot of those people, the same people, voted that they wanted to tie themselves to Russia. Not the same people, a different set of people.
I mean, and sometimes elections do have different turnouts, but still. I mean, I guess you got to take into consideration what Ichabod Deere is saying is that, you know, if that's true, I mean, I can't independently verify that. I'll take it as true at the moment. But, you know,
I'm still trying to find out who Zelensky is exactly. He's like a player. He is trying to sort of like hide his past.
I don't know.
I know it's...
But even regardless of who Zelensky is, though, the fact is that regardless of who the leader of Ukraine is Putin is an a-hole, and so we made a promise to Ukraine. So whoever the leader of Ukraine is, we made a promise to the Ukrainian people that we would protect them if Russia got froggy, and so we need to do that regardless of who the leader is.
And Ichabod Deere is probably going to say I'm lying again, but there is evidence that people are skimming away some of the it's not all money, but it's like weapons and partly money. Things are disappearing. And, you know, they say, oh, it's the fog of war. But things are still disappearing that aren't being accounted for.
I mean, that happens everywhere. That happens in America, too. Like, I mean, it's not that it's excusable, but there's all sorts of loss that takes place all over the place when it comes to, you know, that there's inefficiencies in corporations, there's inefficiencies in government, there's corruption all over the place in corporations and in government where skimming takes place all the time. And would it be great if it happens all the place, if it happened none of the time, and if we could stick a pin in it and stop it, sure. But that shouldn't stop.
Can I remind Ichabod Deere of something?
Sure.
I please remind Ichabod Deere of something?
Go, you don't have to ask, just go. Say it. As long as you're not going to be terrible, say it.
Most Ukrainians speak Russian, including their illustrious and fearless leader. Zelensky speaks Russian primarily. I think that's true. I think I'm not lying about that.
There is, according to this thing that I just looked up, 81% of the population of Ukraine speak the Ukrainian language in their personal life. At the same time, 34% speak Russian, meaning a significant portion of Ukrainian residents, 19% of the people speak both languages regularly. So it's not most, but a good chunk, 34%. So a third of the population of Ukraine speaks Russian. So
primarily, solely.
Well, not solely, but they speak Russian. So, like, 19% are bilingual.
They can speak
both
Polish and Ukrainian and Russian. They can probably speak some of the Slovenian stuff too. They speak a whole different language in Odessa. Did I say about the green?
Hold on, I'm just waiting for my screens to get reset again because my screens just went nuts and I can only see one of them at the moment. Okay, there we go.
Okay, they're getting Ukrainian grain out through the Danube and through the, you know, the delta in the Danube. They can maneuver their ships and everything, and so a lot of grain from Ukraine is getting out to an extent that it's dragging down the market in Europe.
Well, the problem was is back when the Ukrainian grain wasn't getting out, it was causing food shortages and people were starving. So
that's
the problem. That's the problem with capitalism. That's a capitalism problem. That's not a Ukrainian problem. That's a capitalism problem where markets get in the way, markets interfere with people getting food.
Okay. Can I budge in here? They are the Ukrainians. We have given them enough weapons, missile type of, you know, anti-ship missile weapon type of things that it is too difficult to ship grain out of most of Russia, the grain belt of Russia, and the world is still starving. I'm sorry, Ichabod dear. I played Ichabod Crane in Legend of Sleepy Hollow, like in sixth grade.
All right. Well, that's not relevant to the conversation. Anyway, so you don't trust Zelensky, and that's fine. But you know, my point of the matter is that regardless of how much we trust or not trust Zelensky, point of the matter is we still need to support Ukraine in that against Russia. And the fact
if we are so powerful, and people are saying we can we can snuff Russia in 10 minutes type of thing. If we can really do that and we're letting all these people die and letting all this go on, isn't that a little bit evil?
Well, we could absolutely flatten Russia if we wanted to, but we're not going to do that because that would require nukes, and that has a effect on the rest of the world, and probably including us when the nuclear clouds go over us, you know. So there needs to be other ways to handle it, but you know, way we were handling it, which is the right way to handle it, is making sure that Ukraine gets the weapons and the ammunition, especially the ammunition, to be able to put their own lives at risk and defend themselves, which is what they were doing. And they were doing it well until the Republicans decided that they were going to politicize this and make sure that their leader, their dear leader, get, you know, harmed by Putin politically, because, you know, again, Trump's beholden to Putin.
You really think
so,
that?
Absolutely.
You really think that?
Absolutely. Putin would love to see Trump back in office. I wouldn't be surprised if we found out at the end of some day that part of the monies that came to help him, you know, get the bond for the $90 million bond for the E. Jean Carroll case, probably had some Russian asset backing to it too. So there you go. I mean, we're going to talk about more of that Monday. I plan on talking more about his bonds and his issues dealing with the bonds and on Monday. But yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that Russia is absolutely beholden to Russia and Russian oligarchs and stuff like that.
I was trying to steer away from that orange person.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
but it's relevant, because if it wasn't for Trump, I'm sure that there would be lots of Republicans. I mean, if it wasn't for Trump, the vote would happen by now, because the reason that Speaker Johnson is stopping the vote, because there's a majority of the people in the House right now, Democrats, and enough Republicans to pass the legislation that would fund the border wall, that would fund the funding of Ukraine. These people wanted that. Hell, Speaker Johnson was low-key clapping when Biden was saying that he won't bow down to Putin and that we need to support Ukraine. You know, you could see his little hands like clapping underneath the thing, just like, you know, there were, just as you could barely see my hands right now clapping. That's what he was doing, you know, in the State of the Union.
The markets are suffering, or the American markets are suffering, and the Western markets, the NATO markets, are suffering. Everybody,
the American economy was doing great. The American economy would continue to do great when we were supplying ammunition and stuff to the Ukrainian people, because the Ukrainian people, because
we were making
the stuff. We were manufacturing the weapons and the ammunition. So it was putting Americans to work.
We're trying to send $90 billion to Europe.
Right.
That's not all bullets. That's not all bullets and bombs. That's high-tech weapons that haven't been in Europe, or that haven't had a lot of them in Europe, and the most of them that have it are our friends. They said American tanks are in Lithuania.
Anyway. I don't want to talk too long about the Ukrainian topic today, but
I'm trying to steer you back, buddy.
Well, you're trying to steer me back to Ukraine. I don't want to go back to Ukraine. I'm trying to get off of Ukraine.
Yeah.
So, because that's not the topic of conversation that I'm trying to bring up today.
I agree. Trump is at the bottom of all evil. He is the president of chaos.
Right. Anyway,
he's what do they call him? What's the one in Marvel?
Thanos.
The ones that the Shield is fighting.
Hydra.
That's who it is. Trump is the king of Hydra.
Although he's orange, so he should be a hydrant, and then hopefully dogs will come piss on him. But he might like that, because apparently there's still that Russian pee tape. But anyway, anything else to throw in before we go into the top? Anything else we talk about to add before we talk about?
Yes, I just said it, but you overwhelmed me.
All right, what was it you said again?
Say
it one more time.
My love to your wrenches.
Ah, the wrenches. Okay. All right. Well, you have a good one, Wes. Thank you as always.
Yeah, I'm still listening. I'll be typing in a second. Okay. Love you, buddy.
All right. Have a good one, man. Bye.
You too. Bye now.
All right. Anybody else want? If anybody else does want to call in, again, it's 914-803-4131, 914-803-4131. You can also leave comments in the chat, both on liberaldanradio.com and on twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and I guess since it's a half an hour in and maybe we have enough people in right now to start the conversation, the Supreme Court put it in order that basically said, hey, this stupid Texas law that we I'll start recording this because the Supreme Court earlier today basically ordered the conservatives are the ones that did it because the liberals were like, no. They basically said, yes, you can continue to enforce your dumb law where you gave yourselves the unconstitutional power to enforce immigration and border laws and try and deport people. You can do that. While the case goes through court. Mind-numbingly stupid. Why would you let them continue to enforce a law that's a novel concept? The novel concept being that they can enforce border policy. The Constitution clearly gives the authority to enforce immigration and border policy to the federal government. Congress has that power. And the 10th Amendment says, let's bring this forward here because it's not in front of me. Hold on. Where is it? No, I put that one back. Hold on. I hit the wrong thing. There we go. The power is delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited to the states are reserved to the people, to the states or the people. So here we go. Again, the powers that are delegated to the not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited to it by the people, by the states, are reserved to the states or the people. So the powers that states get are the ones not given to the federal government and not restricted from the states by the Constitution. So if you have a power that's granted to the federal government, it's not a power that the states get. It's a very simple concept. This should be cut and dry, black and white. Feds have the power to enforce border policies. States don't. It's as simple as that. Yet Texas just, we're going to go and make ourselves a law. That's unconstitutional. You're usurping the federal government's power. You have no authority to do so. The Constitution is clear. But the Supreme Court decided that, even though the idea that the states could enforce border policy would be a novel concept, it would be the Supreme Court legislating from the bench. But the Supreme Court basically said, hey, we're going to just let the state go on and continue enforcing this law, regardless of the fact that they shouldn't have this power, regardless of the fact that this is something that we're continuing to discuss and it's making its way through the court. It's absolutely bizarre. However, come to find out that the appeals court said, nope, we're not going to, it's going to back, it's back on hold. Like that Wayne's World scene. Like they kept on going, game off, game on. They kept on playing, street hockey or whatever. Every time a car would go, game off, game on. So from Fox, this is what the Supreme a confusing new border decision that was explained from earlier today. Supreme Court handed out a brief order. We'll read the brief order, I guess, in a second, as it comes up. We could always flop over here as this loads. It's taking a little bit to load. And alternate. There we go. Let's move myself over here to the side. We can make it a little bigger. The application to vacate stay presented to Justice Alito and him by the court are all denied. The orders heretofore entered by Justice Alito are vacated. Justice Barrett, with whom Justice Kavanaugh joins, concurring in denial of the applications to vacate stay. If the Fifth Circuit had issued a stay pending appeal, this court would have applied the four-factor test, blah, blah. But the Fifth Circuit had not entered a stay pending appeal. It said it is an exercise of its docket management authority. It issued a temporary administrative stay and deferred the stay motion to the merits panel, blah, blah, blah. Thus, the Fifth Circuit has not yet rendered a decision on whether a stay pending appeal is warranted. This puts the case in a very unusual procedural state. Administrative stays do not typically reflect the court's consideration of the merits. Rather, they freeze legal proceedings until the court can rule on a party's request for expedited relief, yada, yada, yada. That such stays are administrative does not mean that they are value neutral. Their point is to minimize harm while an appellate court deliberates, so that the choice to issue an administrative stay reflects the first blush judgment of the relative consequences. So basically, all this legalese of basically they do an administrative stay to make sure that, you know, the court can, while it's deciding to do what it's doing, but guess what? The point is that they're going through the motions of this court and they're trying to make sure that they're getting this ruling right. So guess what? By allowing them to continue to go through with this law, by allowing them to continue to enforce this law and not having a stay on the law, they're just said. That's how I read it, at least. Let's see. The Supreme Court's order was temporary. The result is quite surprising. Texas law, which allows state officials to arrest migrants and state courts to order them to be deported to Mexico, violates 150 years of settled law, establishing that the federal government and not the states get to decide which foreign nationals may enter or remain in the United States. So not only is it just the Constitution, it's settled law, according to this article. Chai Lung versus Freeman, 1875. So basically, in 1875, the court ruled that states do not have the authority. So good, now I have a case to cite when I'm actually arguing my point that, you know, this is not just a matter of the Constitution, that the Supreme Court has already ruled about this. So when it comes down that the activist conservative Supreme Court is going to allow Texas to do what they want to do because they're an activist conservative Supreme Court and they suck. It's going to come down that it'll probably be 5-4 because Roberts will back the stare decisis and of this old case, and the other five will be like, okay, well, we think Texas should be able to do it anyway because they're dumb, and it'll probably be a ruling by Alito that doesn't take into consideration, you know, words. See, the full court didn't explain itself, but Coney Barrett wrote a brief explanation, joined by Kavanaugh, why she voted to allow the Texas law to take effect. Her opinion says that she will tolerate a dubious order handed down by a right-wing appeals court, which reinstated the Texas law after federal judge blocked it, but Barrett's opinion also contains some language indicating that her tolerance won't last forever. Notably, the appeals court reacted to Barrett's opinion in mere hours, scheduling an oral argument the next morning on whether the Texas law should remain in effect, then issued a second order later that night, effectively suspends the Texas law for the time being. All three of the court's Democratic appointees dissented. They would have blocked the Texas law from taking effect at all. Texas law is unconstitutional under extraordinarily well-settled law. Defense of Texas deportation law under existing four precedents. This court had held consistently over at least a century and a half that the authority to control immigration, to admit or exclude aliens, is vested solely in the federal government. something that I've been saying on this podcast forever, especially since the since DeSantis and Abbott started, shipping undocumented migrants and asylum seekers all over the country, and especially since Texas tried to start, enforcing their own immigration laws. But hey, conservatives want to be like, it's not true. Well, conservatives like to wipe their butts with the Constitution because they don't actually respect it. They don't respect the Constitution at all. Let's see what this, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. This is still 319. United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. Oral argument scheduled for March 20th, 2024 to consider the appellant's motion to stay preliminary injunction pending appeal. It is ordered that the administrative stay of this appeal previously entered is dissolved. Preliminary injunction is extraordinary remedy, blah, blah, blah. So that's not the one I was looking for. But there are other articles that are basically saying now that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has went ahead, shockingly enough, and then stopped the law from being enforced for the time being. Let's see. Greg Abbott on X, Twitter, whatever, on the X Twitter, the website formerly known as Twitter. While the fight continues to uphold SB 4, Texas continues to arrest illegal immigrants for criminal trespass. More than 41,000 criminal arrests has been made. We continue to build border wall to use NG to erect razor wire to repel migrants and to keep buoy barriers in the river. So Greg Abbott's basically saying that he's continuing to violate the Constitution, that he, so you are continuing to violate the Constitution. I have to type this while I'm on this page or else I'll forget. Constitution and usurping power that states don't have. Gotcha. Absolutely ridiculous. Like, conservatives can never say at this point on that they have any respect for the Constitution. They can never bring up the Constitution ever again because this is absurd. If you support this bullshit, because that's what this is. I try not to curse too much on my podcast, but this is bullshit. Completely. There is no reason why this should be why these laws should be a thing. And the only reason why these states are attempting to pass these sort of laws is simply because of the fact that they believe that this activist conservative Supreme Court will take an action that benefits them because it's an activist conservative Supreme Court. They believe they have the 5 votes necessary that will allow them to do whatever they want. Who the hell cares about words and their meanings? According to CBS, which is basically the only thing that I can find on this that doesn't have a paywall, it's just a simple appeals court again blocks Texas immigration law just hours after Supreme Court allowed it, just hours after Supreme Court gave temporary permission for SB 4 to go into effect, a controversial Texas law that will allow states to arrest migrants. A federal appeals court Tuesday night issued a ruling that again put this law on hold. The judges on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals heard the case Wednesday morning. Omar Villafranca has the latest on the legal roller coaster, and it's a video, so I don't necessarily want to play something from CBS News. So let's search Fifth Circuit instead. My thing wants to, Fifth Circuit SB4 is already in my search things because Google is too stupid or too smart. So according to the Texas Tribune, disagreement and confusion on display in hearing over Texas's new immigration law. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments about whether to allow back into effect a law allowing state and local authorities to deport migrants. And, like, if the law is blocked, how does Texas have the authority to arrest these people? It's absolutely bizarre. Like, they should be absolutely prevented from taking any action against these people. But they're still doing it because they're lawless. These Republican politicians, these Republican elected officials are lawless individuals. They don't care about the law. All they care about is making a political point and making points to make Orange Cheeto, Orange Fulius, happy. Let's see, after a day of whiplash federal court rulings that eventually led to blocking of a Texas new boundary testing immigration enforcement law, U.S. Fifth Circuit heard arguments Wednesday on whether this SB4 should go back to effect while the broader legal case plays out. SB4 seeks to make illegally crossing the border a Class B state misdemeanor, carrying a punishment of up to 6 months in jail. Repeat offenders could face a second-degree felony with a punishment of up to 2 to 20 years in prison. It is designed to give state and local authorities new power to enforce the state's border with Mexico, a job that has previously been left to the federal government. That's Texas Tribune takes some real language there. It's not a job that has been previously left to the federal government. It's a job that has been assigned to the federal government by the Constitution. It's not left to the federal government. It's assigned to the federal government and therefore forbidden from the states. Law also requires state judges to order migrants return to Mexico if they are convicted, essentially giving them deportation power. They can't have that, a power they can't have because state judges cannot have deportation power because that's a power that's given to the federal government by the Constitution and as such not a power that's retained by the states. 10th Amendment. Read it, MFers. Local law enforcement would be responsible for transporting migrants to the border. A judge could drop the charges if a migrant agrees to return to Mexico voluntarily. SB4 is a modest but important statute. It's not modest. It's bull. It's utter and complete bull. It's a usurping of authority that you don't have. Texas Solicitor General Aaron Nielsen told the judges during the hearing, it's modest because it mirrors federal law. It doesn't mirror federal law because federal law is a legal thing that is granted to the federal government constitutionally because the Constitution says that the federal government, i.e. Congress, can write laws pertaining to immigration and naturalization. It does not state that the states can have that power. It does not, and in fact, it states that states don't get that power via the 10th Amendment because it's a power that's given to the federal government via the Constitution, and as such, via the 10th Amendment, it is not a 10th Amendment power that the states have. 10th Amendment. Read it. MFers who don't understand this very simple point. But that argument has faced skepticism inside and outside the courtroom. The law was initially put on hold by a federal district judge after the federal government and civil rights groups sued to block its implementation. But on Tuesday, Supreme Court, this court let it go into effect for about 8 hours. That came after the Fifth Circuit had issued a stay on a lower court's judge ruling, but the two judges, justices in the high court, sent the case back to the appeals court, saying that they made a procedural error. Hours after Amy Coney Barrett issued her opinion, which is joined by Kavanaugh, the Fifth Circuit scheduled a hearing over Zoom for Wednesday. Late Tuesday night, the appeals court issued a 2-1 ruling that effectively blocked SB4 again. The judges on the appeals panel during Wednesday's morning were Priscilla Richmond, a nominee from George W. Bush, Ramirez, a Biden nominee, and Andrew Oldham, a Trump nominee who dissented in Tuesday's night ruling. Of course he dissented in Tuesday's ruling. Oldham, who was previously general counsel for Governor Greg Abbott, I wonder why he dissented. He was general counsel for Greg Abbott, and now he's hearing a case that is supported by Greg Abbott. Why didn't he recuse himself? Why wasn't another part of the panel brought forward? He sounded more sympathetic towards Texas lawyers' arguments. Of course he did, because he's a freaking Texan and backing Abbott, saying that in order for the federal government to win, they need to prove every provision of the law is unlawful. I could do that in one click of a mouse button. There you go. The law is unlawful. I just did it with a click of a mouse button. 10th Amendment, bitches. We have no clue on if this would have actually been enforced because there's not been a single person who's been arrested, not a single person who's been ordered removed, not a single state judge who's had the occasion to adjudicate a single provision of this in any way. So we're predicting all of this. It doesn't matter because they don't have the authority to do any of it because guess what? 10th Amendment, bitches. But Richmond, the Bush nominee, appears skeptical. At times, the uncertainty surrounding the law was on display in the courtroom. Who would have thought that you would be like, that George H.W. or George W. Bush would actually have nominated somebody reasonable? At times, the uncertainty surrounding the law was on display in the courtroom Wednesday. Many questions remain unanswered about how and when the law would be enforced. A judge on the panel asked Nielsen how the law would be applied for an immigrant who crossed the border into Arizona or Canada and then later moved to Texas. I confess, Your Honor, I don't know, Nielsen admitted. Nielsen also requested that the appeals court at least let some provisions of the law stand if it prevents others from going to effect. He said Texas police should be able to arrest people suspected of crossing the border illegally and turn them over to federal authorities. Richmond noted that nowhere in SB4 does it say police should turn over migrants to federal administration agents or immigration agents, which is true. It doesn't say that because it's not in there. And they don't have the authority to do so. Why don't they have the authority to do so? 10th Amendment, bitches. Lawyers for the U.S. Department of Justice and Immigration Rights Organization also presented arguments saying SB4 preempts federal law. They said SB4 goes further than what Arizona's SB 1070, a state immigration law that passed in 2010. The U.S. Supreme Court gutted a provision of the law that allowed police to arrest people if they suspected they were there without legal immigration status. In that case, like the previous federal court rulings, the high court said the federal government has sole jurisdiction over immigration matters. Why does the federal government have sole jurisdiction over immigration matters? Because Article 1, Section 8 gave the power to do that to the federal government. And then, 10th Amendment, bitches! Another hearing is scheduled for April 2nd in the appeals court. It is unclear whether the three-judge panel issued a ruling. Tuesday night's decision caused some observers to suspect that Texas faces long odds on getting the Fifth Circuit to immediately allow the law to go back into effect. Rafi Melakonian, an appellate lawyer in Houston who tuned into the court hearing, said he doesn't believe Texas lawyers were able to convince the majority on the panel. It's fair to say that the panel seemed unconvinced of a stay at the very least. He added that Nielsen is a small person, but that he may have struggled to answer some of the questions from the panel because the law doesn't work correctly. That's the problem with Texas, because they can't articulate what they want to do that's different from enforcing immigration law, which they're not allowed to do. And why are they not allowed to do it? Everybody at the same time? 10th Amendment, bitches. In December, an ACLU and Texas Civil Rights Project sued Texas on behalf of El Paso County and two immigrant rights organizations over the new state law. The following month, its Department of Justice filed its lawsuit against Texas. The lawsuits have since been combined. Last week, Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund and the National Immigration Law Center also filed a lawsuit on behalf of La Unión del Pueblo Entero, an advocacy group in the Rio Grande Valley founded by farmers' rights advocates Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta. So there you go. If I upload this entire thing, this entire recording as a separate video, I should just call it 10th Amendment Bitches. Right? Anyway, so since I recorded this, what do you think of the video? Agree or disagree, leave your comments below. Remember to like and subscribe and have a good day. 10th Amendment Bitches. Let's scroll. I think I saw that last one. Stephen Sayers said, a bunch of old white guys and women deciding what's right for America. Hey, you have Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let's see. Private jets are not efficient at all per passenger, but the same can be said about individual cars versus mass transit. We have sucky mass transit. We should have lots more mass transit in this country. Let's see. Hey, Maria, what's going on? let's see, Stephen Sayers, are we going to have a constitution or not? I don't think if this, when this Supreme Court is done with it, I don't think we're going to have a constitution if the Supreme Court's done with it. Jeff Curry, ever have one of those days where it feels like Benny Hill's theme should have been running in the background? I had that day today. It used to be when I had my old radio show, when I was actually on the air and they handled the dealing of the actual intellectual property rights. So it used to be that my Hypocrite of the Week had Yakety Sax in the background and not the other music. That was Hypocrite of the Week. Used to be Hypocrite of the Week. Hypocrite of the Week used to have Yakety Sax in the background behind it and not the other one. I wish I could figure out how to do that better, but oh well. Let's see. Ichabod Deer, Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, Angela Chow's blood alcohol content was nearly 3 times the legal limit before her fatal dive into the pond. So she was partially responsible then for her own death, I guess. Of course, Elon's truck then made it impossible for her to get saved because the glass couldn't shatter. Jeff Curry, a sax rep, band teacher used to get mad at me for doing that random during class. I mean, I used to play the sax in like middle school band. That was like the instrument that I picked or whatever. I played it a little bit. I wish I would have continued with it so I could actually play the music myself. That would be fun. It was perfect for Hypocrite of the Week, but so is this other one, so I use that one instead. It happens. Or as Trump would say,
it is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. So, but yeah. So the Supreme Court wanted to basically say, hey, you can continue doing your stupid law. But for some reason, shockingly enough, the extremely conservative Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals somehow put the stay in and seems suspicious in whether or not they're going to allow it to, I guess, have a stay or to not be stayed. While they makes its way through the court system, and eventually we'll see it in the Supreme Court, and eventually we'll be able to see whether or not the Supreme Court's going to basically say screw the Constitution one more time, because that's what this activist conservative Supreme Court has been doing. Is they've been saying screw the Supreme Court over, or screw the Constitution over and over and over and over again. West, that's not true. Where you say as long as it's not specifically forbidden to the states by the Constitution, it can be tested? No. Because, again, it's already been tested by the California law from 150 years ago that was overturned. And so it's already precedent, A. B, the Constitution is clear that the only powers that states get are powers that are not given to the federal government or not restricted from the state. So if the Constitution says states, you don't have this power, the states don't get it. If the Constitution says federal government, you have this power, the states don't get it. It's clear black and white language. So that's my standing on it, at least. Supreme Court ruling today, allowing a case to go forward. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled Tuesday a man's challenge to his placement on the fly list can move forward, finding the government failed to show his lawsuit is moot. Sikri, if I pronounced it wrong, I'm sorry to Mr. Yonis, a U.S. citizen who previously resided in Sudan, claimed his placement on the list was unlawful and sued the FBI. the government later removed him from the list and said it was unlikely that he would be re-added. It then contended Fikri's lawsuit was moot as a result and should be tossed. The government warned that not declaring lawsuits like Fikri's moot at the onset could require the government to disclose classified information. The Supreme Court rejected that assertion, enabling Fikri's case to move ahead. Necessarily, our judgment is a provisional one, Gorsuch wrote in the court's opinion. Just because the government has not yet demonstrated that Mr. Fikri's case is moot, it does not mean that it will never be able to do so. The case comes to us in a preliminary posture framed only by uncontested factual allegations and a terse declaration. As the case unfolds, the complaint's allegations will be tested rather than taken as true, and different facts may emerge that may call for a different conclusion. Fikri alleges that he traveled to Sudan in 2009 and pursued growing an electronics business in his native East Africa. The FBI questioned him while in Sudan, according to court filings, telling Fikri he was on a no-fly list and could be removed if he became an informant. He allegedly refused and moved to the UAE, where he claims that he was abducted and tortured for months by the country's secret police at the FBI's request. Oof. After leaving the UAE, Fikri says he moved to Sweden, filed his lawsuit, and sought asylum. After being denied asylum, Sweden allegedly flew Fikri back to Portland, Oregon on a private jet. In 2016, the government told Fikri that he had been dropped from the no-fly list and his lawsuit was moot, court filings show. The district court agreed, but the Ninth U.S. Circuit reversed it, leading government to appeal to the Supreme Court. The FBI cannot play whack-a-mole with the rights of Muslims. The FBI cannot place innocent Muslims on the no-fly list, only to then block that unconstitutional list from scrutiny by removing those Muslims whenever they file a lawsuit. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, Ghadir Abbas, who argued the case for Fikri, said in a statement, the government does not generally disclose the full reason for why people were placed on the list. Cases automatically become moot when the defendant suspends its challenged conduct and then carries on litigating for some qualified period, nor can a defendant's speculation about a plaintiff's action make up for a lack of assurance about its own. For that matter, given what little we know about this stage of the proceedings, Mr. Fikri may have done none of the things the government presumes he has, perhaps wishing to, but refraining for fear of finding himself relisted. Sam Alito, joined by fellow conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh, wrote separately to clarify that the government does not necessarily have to make classified information available to Fikri to show his case is moot. In at least some instances, requiring government to disclose sensitive information regarding its grounds for placing or removing a person from the no-fly list could undermine the government's significant interest in airline safety and the prevention of terrorist attacks, Alito wrote. Lindsay Harrison and Annie Kastanek, partners at Jenner and Block, who represent Fikri, applauded the ruling. We are proud to have helped Mr. Fikri secure justice through this unanimous Supreme Court decision. Mr. Fikri was unconstitutionally placed on the no-fly list and stranded overseas for 4 years, and today's victory underscores that government cannot evade review of its national security policies by selectively mooting out cases. So there you go. Horrible behavior, apparently, by our government, trying to get away with it by just dropping it from the no-fly list. Like, no, hey, we dropped you from the no-fly list. No harm, no foul, right? No, dudes. That's not how it works, bruh. Sorry. Not how it works at all. What's going on, Eazy-E? Hal was doing all kind of musical impressions. Nice. Sad I missed it, but, you know, I've got my show here, I guess. Hey, Marsha, good to see you. First, please like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. Should I continue with musical impressions? Since Hal is doing musical impressions, should I continue? I could do my Louis Armstrong now that my throat's better. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah. There's one for you. Of course, there's the, that's what I won a karaoke contest with on a cruise. I did Wonderful World. You have, I do other impressions. There's, you know, when I was in Epcot at Disney World, they had a display called Impressions of France. And I was like, I can do that. We surrender. Anyway. So, What's going on, Pam? Thank you for the subscribe. Appreciate you. Hal probably does more impressions than me. I do a few. I try and interject some humor. I guess the problem with me is that problem with me trying to put humor into a show is that most of my listeners are Hal listeners, so I'm never going to live up to the Hal level of humor. Although I do drop in an occasional funny every once in a while. So I don't know how many of you are laughing at 10th Amendment bitches. All the just me just going back and forth on the 10th Amendment bitches. If you want to know what that means, you might have to just rewind. And I'm going to actually, I will upload that video up so you don't have to watch the whole podcast if you want to. I will upload maybe a slightly edited version of that clip after this show is done. So it'll be about 20, it'll be like a 20-minute clip instead of a whole hour clip or however long this ends up being. So, son got rear-ended and slammed into another car. His car was totaled. He needs to ride now. That sucks. My son was actually on the school bus today, and I'm sitting there at the bus stop waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, I got a call from my wife. You need to go to this other place and go pick your son up because there was a bus accident, and he's waiting there. He's fine. He wasn't hurt, but apparently the sewage and water board truck opened a door while his bus was passing, and there's a broken mirror on the bus. So that's all that happened was a broken mirror. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but his bus was sitting there forever, and he was sitting there forever. And of course, today is the day that he didn't bring his phone with him, so he couldn't call me immediately and be like, you need to come over here and pick us up. So I'm sitting there forever waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Nothing. So anywho, what's going on, Cynthia from Texas? Good to see you. Who else am I missing that came in? You got Michael Combs. Good to see you, Michael. John Deff. I don't know if I saw you come in or not, but if I hadn't, hey, John, what's going on? Let's see. Wes earlier says it expresses the principle of federalism known as states' rights. You know how I feel about the term states' rights. West, there's no such thing as states' rights. States have powers. People have rights. The 10th Amendment is where the people who yell about the myths of states' rights bring that up. Again, the 10th Amendment is clear. The 10th Amendment says we can make it bigger if we want to. Hold on. Let me make it bigger if we want, since we want. Let's make it very – oh, wait. Hold on. That's too big. And that's being blocked by other things. So let's push it up. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So again, in order for a state to get a power, it has to either not be given to the federal government, or it has to not be denied to the states by the Constitution. In this particular case, the states are not obtaining this power because it is a power that's given to the federal government in and of itself. So that's like, what's going on, Nermisha? Good to see you. But yeah. So that's why I have such a big, I have a problem with the term states' rights, because nowhere in this text right here where they derive the idea of states' rights, nowhere in this text whatsoever does the word right exist. Nowhere in here does the word right exist. It says powers, not rights, but powers. Now, the 9th Amendment mentions rights, but that's only rights about the people. Those are people's rights, not government rights. Government doesn't have rights. States don't have rights. Only people have rights. That's why I cringe at the idea of states' rights. I don't understand why conservatives would be so eager to give a right, something as precious as a right, to a government entity. They hate government, supposedly. They're supposed to hate government. Now they want to give it rights? No. Rights belong to people. rights are a precious thing. But they constantly want to take away rights from people, like body autonomy, for example. Jeff Curry, yes, states' rights, but not for abortion. Well, that's the thing, is that they believe that the states have the right to end abortions, but states don't have rights. States have powers. People have rights. As we've reviewed in a previous video, Alito, in his horrible Dobbs v. Jackson ruling, he wanted to say that abortion was not listed in the Constitution, so therefore abortion is not a right that people have, which completely ignores the Ninth Amendment, which says, hold on, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to desire to disparage others retained by the people, i.e., Alito doesn't even know his Constitution because he doesn't understand that the Ninth Amendment clearly states that you don't have to enumerate a right for a right to exist. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a software developer, blogger, gamer, father, nerdy guy, etc., who makes dad jokes and occasionally dirty jokes as well. Maybe more than occasionally making dirty jokes. I don't know how Alito ever made it onto the court. It just baffles the mind. Because, I mean, that's he's got to be one of the worst that has ever been appointed to the court. Ever. Because his rulings are horrible. And every time I find one, every time I think of another bad ruling, and I'm like, oh, that must have been written by Alito too. And then I go look at it, and it's like, oh, yep, it was. There's another bad ruling. It must be an Alito one. Yep, it is. Hey, 56 Nick Rich is here. And Big Hook. Let's see, what did you miss, Big Hook? We did a sort of a rant where I mentioned 10th Amendment bitches a lot. So that clip should be posted later tonight, early this morning, depending on if you're a member or not. If you are a Danimal or higher, you'll see it as soon as it goes live. If you are not a Danimal or higher and are just subscribing to the channel, you'll see it probably around 9 o'clock in the morning. So Ken QB, I used to make dirty jokes, but then I took a shower. Ba-dum-bum. I don't want you to refrain from dirty jokes, Jeff. I don't want you to not be you. Be yourself. I think Bush Jr. did, in fact, appoint Alito. Because I think that was during Katrina, I want to say, is that Alito was appointed. I want to say that was Katrina, because you had the whole issue of the Supreme Court position came open and Roberts was being appointed. So then he changed it to Roberts being appointed to be the Chief Justice. I think Alito was also appointed during the Bush administration. I can search that real quick. Who appointed Alito? I think it's George W. Bush. There you go. January 31st, 2006. So it was after Katrina. Okay. Wes, do aliens have the right to own a gun? I don't know. Depends on which planet they're from. Are they from Uranus? Bringing it back to the whole Uranus jokes. I would argue, yes, that the Second Amendment right to own and bear arms does not specifically state citizens. So therefore, it is a right that is held by all people, including people who are residents here, if they reside here, be they aliens or not. Aaron, dirty jokes might make me laugh, and I need a laugh. Well, I've been trying with the Uranus jokes all night long. I don't know. See, Big Hook, states are responsible for giving public utilities infrastructure which are necessary for society to function. Stay out of my house and family affairs unless violence is apparent. Amen, my brother. Preach, if you will. But yeah. I did finally get around to, a side note, I did finally get around to doing my taxes yesterday, and I actually am getting like $2,500 back, which I'm like, yay, which means I can actually reduce the amount of extra money that I'm withholding on my paycheck every month now, because I had this whole big, like during the pandemic, because I didn't have a job, one of the first things I did was I took out the 401k loan, and it allowed you to take that loss in three consecutive years. And so for 2020, 2021, and 2022 tax years, I had to do that. But for 2021 and 2022 tax years, it was a pain in the neck because H&R Block stopped allowing you to do that via their system. And you had to hire one of their specialists, which means you had to upload all of the paperwork to them, even though all you had to do it for was one piece of paper. So what I ended up doing is I ended up having H&R Block do my taxes, and then I downloaded the taxes and filed the paper copies myself. But then in order to do that, I had to redo the 1040 after doing that other special form by myself, and then mailed that all in. And then it was a huge pain in the ass. And so then this year, I was finally able, I don't have to worry about that special form anymore, because that's done with. So I was able to do everything on H&R. Now I thought, okay, now I have extra money. I get that a little bit of a chunk of a refund, and now I get to put more money aside. Now I get to stop putting as much money into my withholdings, and I get more money every paycheck, which is needed because of the fact that I'm now paying insurance, which sucks. Then I have to do my state taxes. I always do the state taxes via the state form. I don't pay H&R Block to do the state taxes because state taxes are stupidly easy. And they want to charge me $45 to do state taxes. I'm like, no, I can do that myself. Yes, Wes, the Constitution applies to everybody. That's another argument that I often get into with conservatives who are like, the constitutional rights are only for people, only for citizens. I'm like, well, if the constitutional rights are only for citizens, then why in some areas of the Constitution does it specify citizens, but in other areas of the Constitution, it just says people? It's clear. When the people who wrote the amendments and who wrote the Constitution wanted it to only apply to citizens, they specifically mentioned citizens. Otherwise, they mentioned people, and those are about people, and people have rights regardless of whether or not they're citizens or not. But that just gives you an open eye into the mindset of conservatives, because they don't view non-citizens as people, as we can see by Donald Trump's comments calling, you know, immigrants vermin, calling immigrants, calling them also saying that they taint the blood of the country, and all the other ways that he refers to people who come into this country in dehumanizing ways. So. Ken QB, here's a seasonal joke. What do you call a fake stone? A shamrock. Ba-dum-bum. Do you wash your hair with fake crap? I mean, it is shampoo, right? Ba-dum-bum. I had a good funny laugh because one of my cousins, Jill, will always talk about how clearly, you know, the Zimmerman humor runs strong with people, and how sometimes, you know, it clearly will be obtained by marriage as well. But and she always talks about how her late husband would have loved us specifically, because all of us, me and my wife and the kids, are definitely his type of people. I think he was an IT person as well. I'm sad I never got to meet him. We've only met in person a couple of times. But she's a great person. But anyway. So my wife earlier today, my son was asking me, how do you spell mighty? And I was like, how do you spell mighty? Because I wanted him to do it himself. I didn't want to just give him the answer. I was like, work it out for yourself. I was like, what's the first letter? And he was like, M. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, T. I'm like, no. It's like, G. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, and then he goes, T, I'm like, no. He goes, H, I'm like, yeah. And he goes, T, I'm like, yeah. And then he goes, why? I'm like, that's it. And then he goes, K. And my wife goes, there's no K. And I'm like, I paused for a second, and then I start busting out laughing. And my son completely missed it. And I'm just dying because I'm like, yes, my wife has fully absorbed my family's humor now. She's fully gotten the curse or the blessing or whatever you want to call it of the Zimmerman pun gene. The texting is a scam in the U.S. and Canada, with these companies always offering very difficult to find free versions. John Oliver made a very direct link to the free version. Unfortunately, I can't use the free versions with all of the things that I do, especially with Liberal Dan and everything like that, and with all the business stuff, because I use Liberal Dan. I claim income off of it, and I have expenses off of it, so it's small, but I still use it to stuff, and I have tax gains and losses, so... I mean, not tax, stock gains and losses. So because of all that, I can't use the free versions. So what four-letter word ends in K and means intercourse, talk. Nice. Hey, Robin, I'm good to see you. It's like, what's a word that starts in F and ends in K? Fire truck. Squawk too. Nice. Is anyone else wearing a top hat now? No. Not me, at least not at the moment. I'm not jaunty. But I could wear this hat, Mardi Gras hat. Hello, Governor. I think we're getting to the point of the silliness of the show. Let's see what else? Let's move over to the Twitter, shall we? And see what's trending over on Twitter and talk about that, because I don't have too much to talk about. And I'm gonna Monday I'll be talking to probably a good bunch about Trump and his money woes. Although politics trending, Trump is broke AF is trending, which is hilarious. Let's see. Remember when Trump told his base how wealthy he was back in 2015? I'm really rich, he said. Trump will be great for America because he's a successful businessman, they said. He's been begging for donations ever since. Billionaire, my black ass, so the poster says. Trump is broke AF. LOL. Hilarious. I mean, I do potentially agree, though, with Wes. As Wes said on the last show, that it's possible that maybe he's just making all this crap up. Maybe he does have the ability to pay the bond, and he's just trying to tell all these people that, you know, he needs all this money for a grift, because he wants to have as many of his contributors donate as much as possible to his campaign, so he can use that money to pay off the bond instead of his own money, because that's what grifters do. It was March 14th last week. You know, you were told that pi r squared, everyone knows pi r round, cake r squared. Exactly. Let's see, Trump's fines and settlements over the years. $750,000 antitrust lawsuit against Bally. Bally's $750,000 defamation for accurately predicting Trump Taj Mahal would fail. $200,000 removing black workers from casino floor. 1991, $30,000 fine for circumventing state regulations. 1998, $1.4 million for hiring undocumented workers. Dun, dun, dun. 1998, $447,000 money laundering violations. 2000, $250,000 New York State Lobby Commission. 2006, $100,000 Palm Beach flag ordinance. The bastard. 2015, $799,000 defamation Trump University students. 2015, $10 million money laundering violations. 2016, $50,000 data and credit card breaches. 2016, $1.3 million FEC disclosure errors. 2017, $25 million Trump University fraud. 2019, $2 million Trump Foundation fraud. 2019, $290,000 Scotland Wind Farm. 2021, $122 million Trump campaign forced to refund donors. 2022, $110,000 contempt of court. 2022, $750,000 funneling inaugural funds to his business. $1.6 million, 17 counts of criminal tax fraud. 2023, CFO sentenced to prison. 2023, $10,000 for attacking court personnel. 2023, $1 million court sanctions, bogus lawsuit, including $171,000 to be paid to Hillary. 2023, $5 million to E. Jean Carroll. 2024, $83.3 million to E. Jean Carroll. 2024, $392,000 court sanctions, bogus lawsuit, New York Times. 2024, $453 million business fraud. So there you go. He is a criminal, a crook, a scam artist, a con artist, and all of his supporters are jealous because they wish they were as successful as at fraud, crime, and villainy as he is as well. There's a picture here, a meme of Melania. When you realize that Stormy Daniels and E.G. Carroll will pay it and you will never be. That dude is swamped in dirty dealings. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap, except they're not dirt cheap for him. Where's Donald going to get the money to pay Melania's appearance fees? Maybe he's funneled it aside. Maybe she made sure that it got set aside ahead of time. You know, maybe she was like, I'm a very smart businesswoman. I take money up front, not wait on the back end. I'm not like these other fools. I'm not easily swindled. You give me money up front or I no come. I mean, I'm with Donald Trump. I no come anyway, but I'm not going to arrive without money up front. You hear what I'm saying? RNC, Russian National Committee. Yep, pretty much. Pretty much indeed. Or, if I come, it's not with Donald, it's from Secret Service agents, because, you know, they're good-looking, and they're athletic, unlike Donald. But he don't know, because he's too busy trying to dodge all these lawsuits. And as my jackets say, I don't care. Meanwhile, Barron is seeing the money getting pissed away. Her appearance is part of the repurposed marriage deal. I wonder what his life insurance is worth. Oh, I make sure I get separate policy. It's separate. He don't know anything about it. I have it separately. And I put money away for Barron. I take care of my child. And it's probably not even Donald's. Barron Trump probably, you know, someone else's. Welcome back, Marcia. Robin, he has life insurance. I'm very sure Melania took out a life insurance policy on her husband just to make sure that if anything else happened to him that, you know, she would at least get something. Chico's bail bonds worked out for the Bad News Bears. Give him a call, Donnie. imagine having him having a campaign with, like, his corporate slogans literally on, like, you know, like, just like the comedian said, who was that said that? That wasn't George Carlin. Was it somebody else that made the joke about how politicians should have to wear all of the people that sponsor them on them, like red NASCAR cars? Thank you. Who would know if he had an affair with a Secret Service agent? The service would be secret. It's very good service, too. You know. Full top-down experience, you know what I'm saying? You think I think it was Carlin too. That's my gut reaction. Was it from Better Call Saul? I don't know. Either way, Donald Trump may actually be the first person that actually has to do it. Although he'll have a big like Russian Putin logo on the back and like the center. Actually, no. In reality, it would be like a tramp stamp or a pullout target for Donald. Donald's going to have to get a lower back tattoo with Putin on it, just so he's a big Russian flag, so Putin knows where to pull out. What's up, MC Jet? Jeff Curry, I have no idea about Barron. He seems like the smartest Trump kid due to the fact that I've never heard him speak. He's very smart that way. I tell him, I'm his mother. I say, look, don't say anything. Let everyone else make asses of themselves. We end up on top of pile. Everyone else go to jail, we get what's left. At the end of the day, it'll be called Melania-ago. Instead of Mar-a-Lago, it's Melania-ago. Is the volume low? The volume could be low because my computer sucks sometimes, and sometimes it drags the... No, it's still at 96. I don't know. We'll see. Hold on. Now it dropped all the way down to 70. Jesus. I don't like my computer. My computer likes to change the volume randomly on me. Same with Tiffany. I don't know. Tiffany comes out more often, I think. I don't know. But Tiffany, maybe the same thing with Marla. Marla may be like, you know, look, Tiffany, you can go out and you can make your appearances. Just don't do much. Don't be involved like the other idiots. Let the other idiots get, like, you know, get theirs. That's why Ivanka probably is less involved than the other two, than Beavis and Butthead. I'm probably loud for the people that adjusted for the volume, and then regular for the people that came in and didn't have to adjust the volume. Like, I thought I fixed the issues, but again, it's for some reason... it just likes to go back and forth. Like the volume on the sound settings just likes to automatically go down by itself. And I don't understand why, and I don't want it to. It's pissing me off. But it's better to be pissed off than to be pissed on, unless you're Donald Trump with a Russian hooker. Probably Katie Porter or Elizabeth Warren said the commercial lobbyist on uniform. Maybe. Who knows? Yes, the PP tapes. I was so mad one time because I was like, I need to make a parody. And I need to include in the parody. I need to be like, I need to do it wasn't me parody, because I like making parodies every once in a while. I need to make it wasn't me parody with Donald Trump saying it wasn't me. But then the James Corden show came out with one with Shaggy playing a part of Donald Trump. It was well done, but it was so mad because like they took my idea. I had it and they ran with it. No. Oh, I'm very sure that Jared Kushner was all over the idea that, you know, I'm sure he would love Netanyahu to just bomb the crap out of Gaza just so that some investors can come take over the land and have some nice oceanfront property, because that's what would happen. And people and these people who are like, are there would be okay with Biden losing as long as, you know, it causes a little pain to Biden and teaches them a lesson, as long as they can have deal with a little bit of pain no, there's no little bit of pain. That's the type of crap that will happen. Is Netanyahu would be emboldened. He'd do worse. And like the Kushners would go buy up beachfront property in Gaza and turn it into like a resort, a MAGA resort. Meanwhile, Ukrainians would get bulldozed over by Putin. NATO would be gone and you'd see deaths explode. But no, it's just a little bit of pain. Just a little. Idiots. Yeah, with Saudi money, exactly. Well, because nobody cares. None of the Arab nations care about the Palestinians. If the Arab nations actually cared about the Palestinian people themselves, they'd have given back the Palestinians the land of the West Bank and Gaza in 48. But they've always been pawns in their hatred against the Jews living there. So, yeah, Robin, it is very funny how the zeitgeist happens across the universe and people have the same thoughts. That is very true. Like, there's been a couple of other times where I've thought of something and then all of a sudden I see somebody else doing like, that was my idea. Although I'm half convinced. I wrote a song one time. I literally wrote a song when I was in college for an older woman that I was, a slightly older woman that I was kind of seeing long distance. And we broke up and then she started dating a musician. And I don't know what his name was, and I can't prove this for the life of me, but I swear to God, the song that I wrote sounds a lot like Follow Me. Like the Follow Me, Everything Is All Right. That song. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. That song. Like the song that I wrote and played on the guitar and like the little, even, and it's so similar to that song, to Follow Me, where I'm like, and like the guy even knew about it. Like the guy knew that I'd written the song and like wanted to use it. And I was like, no, it's my song. You can't use it. But like, If I ever found out that that was the same dude and she dated him and he took my song, I'd be like, God damn it, he stole my damn song. I could have been rich. Yes, good reminder, Jolie. What's older than that, Ken? I guess show break, since we're about 9:30-ish. Liberal Dan Radio, Talk From Left, That's Right, Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central, here at liberaldanradio.com, which is the YouTube channel, or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio. We just use that pretty much for a soundboard and for the phone lines. So if you want to join into the chats, come to YouTube and Blog Talk, or YouTube or on Twitch, and those are the best ways to join in those chat rooms as well. Support the show, like the video on YouTube. Remember to follow on Twitch. It's free to follow. Subscribe on YouTube. It's free to subscribe. I'm trying to get to 1,000 subs. Once I get to 1,000 subs, I should be very close to the point where I'll be getting monetization on YouTube, not just for the super chats and the memberships, but for ad revenue as well. You can become a Liberal Danimal or higher levels. Those memberships on YouTube are available. You can do that. You can do super chats and super stickers on YouTube. You can be a subscriber on Twitch for free with Amazon Prime, or you can subscribe regularly. You can gift the paid memberships on either of the sites, on Twitch or YouTube as well, if you want to help the channel even more. You can buy me a cider, buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio, or just go to liberaldan.com and click the Buy Me a Cider button, or just Venmo Liberal Dan. The QR code is right up there. Just use friends and family because you're not buying anything. And Patreon, patreon.com/liberaldan or patreon.liberaldan.com. Either way will get you there. You can support me on a monthly basis as well. And when I do bits early, you'll get early access to bits on Patreon too. You get to have some say on things when I put polls to the subscribers as well. So there's that. Let's see, Netanyahu is happy when people choose to blame the American liberal for his actions in Gaza. I mean, that's partially true. Everybody who acts like a tyrant is happy when other people get the blame for the tyrannical actions. See, MC Jet, why aren't Democrats, i.e. Biden, shoring up our laws, keeping state legislators in their place so they don't pull some fuckery in 2024? Problem is you have a Republican House. You can't do it. You can't pass anything in the House. The Republicans in the House are going to want to see the fuckery, said fuckery. So it's kind of hard for Biden to do a lot. Basically, the only thing that we can do is have the Justice Department come in and react to things. And I think they have been reacting to some things, but there's only so much they can do. Yeah, Robin, somebody stole it from you when you sang it in college. I'm thinking it's true. I didn't sing it for many people in college, but I'm thinking. But the fact is that her next boyfriend was a musician, so maybe he sang it, then somebody stole it from him, because she lived in She went to University of Tennessee Martin, and so that might have been close enough to Memphis, Tennessee, and maybe there's a connection there. I don't know, but I could have been getting paid royalties for that damn song because I wrote the damn song. Maybe, but oh, the politicians wearing patches of the sponsors is older than Better Call Saul and Katie Porter are probably back in the 90s, 2000s. That's why I think that Carlin might be the best answer for it. And other people who said it may have been copying off of Carlin. Let's see, the first I heard it was from Robin Williams. That's also that may also be true. It might have been Robin Williams. That could be true. Big Hook, everyone steals from everybody. You're a computer programmer, so almost all script is stolen from previous versions. Fair enough. So there's that too. So anyway. Although with Robin Williams, everyone in a politician should wear the jerseys with their patches on them so you can see sponsors them. Whoa. Al, hold on. Anyway, not my best impression, but I'll just like the whoa. First to copyright it and patent it owns it. Unfortunately, that's usually true unless you can prove it otherwise. So yeah, there's a lot of code that's out there. That's a lot of code is not necessarily patentable unless it's a full-ass process. But like code can be copyrightable. So if that makes sense. So there's a whole bunch of different stuff. Like I should have really gone into both software development and law and been done like copyright law with that. But again, I was. When I said in high school that I could potentially be a lawyer, my mom was like, "You don't have the killer instinct to be a lawyer." And I was like, "All right, well, whatever. Thanks, Mom." But, you know, that pushed me away from the idea of law. And then later on in life, she's like, "Why didn't you ever become a lawyer?" And I'm like, "Because you told me not to." Anywho. See you later, Nick Rich. I'm about ready to end soon, too. I'm starting to... I'm starting to feel tired, and I have some other stuff to do before I catch some Z's tonight, including processing that other video to post for tomorrow. Anywho, it was in that movie when he was elected president due to computer error. Was it Man of the Year? That's true, but if he said that in that movie, then it probably was Carlin who said it first. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Because you told me not to. Exactly. Sometimes it's not good to listen to your mother. I think I probably would have been a very good lawyer. I have a very good understanding of the law for a layperson, I tend to think. So, but anyway, I am starting to get a little tired. I was very run down today. I had a lot of other stuff I had to do. I've been running around all over the place, and I have some stuff to do before tomorrow anyway. And I covered most of what I wanted to cover today. Monday I should have more stuff. And on top of that, I think I want to make the first in a long time more videos over the weekend of both the case for Joe Biden and the case against Donald Trump. So look for those to come up over the weekend as well, or go live Monday and Wednesday as they typically would. Anyway, so that is the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left. That's right. Thank you, everybody, for coming in and joining. I will be back unless something big happens, then maybe I'll go live on another day to respond to anything big happening. But unless that happens, catch me Monday night again, same time, 8 p.m. Central here, liberaldanradio.com, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Until then, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.